I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue. Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the show that exposes the myths of life, death and sex. We like to think this is one of the most popular shows on the radio.
Although, in fact, it's not.
No.
But our first topic today is stress.
Now, stress can lead perfectly
to... Mind you, a racist bigot is overweight and is wearing an appalling fawn cardigan!
What?
An example of a hysterical outburst, Mike. The sort of thing I might mistakenly say while under stress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for that example, Sue, because stress can lead us to say...
You're just so stubborn and self-important, Mike!
Another example of a stressful outburst, Sue.
No.
Right, now, stress can induce paranoia. You may have been unlucky enough to suffer from it.
Yes, figures show one in two people suffer from paranoia at some stage in their lives. So if you're not a sufferer, then it might well be that the person who's following you is.
Now, buried somewhere inside almost every one of us is a rejected lover.
And the stress of broken relationships can be found the world over.
Martin Forjones is on the line now, live from Samarkand, where history is being made in the first meeting between the heads of the state of Russia and the newly formed state of Uzbekistan. What's been the mood of the meeting, Martin?
Well, the Russian head of state began by welcoming everybody to the meeting and then saying after the split of Russia and Uzbekistan, he wanted to make it clear to the world that it was Russia who chucked Uzbekistan. It was us who chucked you when we broke up, all right? He said. No, we cannot agree, came the reply. It was us who chucked you. No, it was definitely us who chucked you, the Russian repeated. No, we finished it, they replied. We finished it. We did. No, we did. And so it continued. And the meeting is still going on, with apparently Russia now accusing Uzbekistan of still having several boxes of its things. This is Martin Forjones in Samarkand telling you again, needlessly, where and who I am.
When stress and roads go together, we all know the cocktail can, if you'll excuse the pun, be really bad.
Yes, indeed. Road rage. Let's face it, we've all had some experience of it.
Sue, can I tell you a little story here? Yesterday, I was driving to do a voiceover for a training video about dangers in the office. That actually turned out to be all about the Health and Safety Act or something. When I kept telling them the biggest danger when working in an office is getting caught with the secretary in the stationery cupboard.
Yes. Yesterday was a particularly dangerous day for you, I understand, Mike.
Anyway, I was driving along and I got cut up by a complete idiot on a roundabout. Now, I hold my hands up. I'm not the best driver in the world, but I'm up with the elite. I got out of my Rover XJS in a rage. But I checked myself. I said... Mike, calm down. Everyone's human. Move away from a stressful encounter here. Let's go our separate ways as friends.
Well done, Mike. Well done.
Yes, he just got back in his police car and drove off as though nothing had happened.
Police car?
And it made me think, you know, Sue, reducing stress is vital. So what a good financial idea it was for me to make that relaxation tape. And quite by chance, I've got a copy here.
Oh, no, Mike, no. I don't think this is the time.
Now, part of the BBC's remit is to inform, Sue, and I'm informing the listeners that my relaxation tape is available at Tandy. Did a very useful deal over rotary lunch a while back. And also, of course, direct from me at $12.99. Here's a taster.
Relax.
Hi, I'm Mike Meadows, and this is my relaxation tape. Now, I want you to relax. Relax. Imagine you are as successful as me. Suddenly, your pathetic, whiny troubles seem insignificant. You have fame, security, and a Rover XJS with leather seats. There's nothing to worry about. Relax. The CSA will never catch up with you. No, you're too damn smart for them. Relax. Relax. Now imagine standing next to me, Mike Meadows, and you're getting my autograph. You smile. We're together on a beach. The sand is golden. The sun beating down. I haven't got a wife. This ring means nothing. Throw it in the sea. Watch. Well, I'll just put it in my pocket. No, it's just the two of us. You feel so warm and relaxed. Relax.
Mike.
Look, I never pay for sex. I thought we agreed. I'm sorry. I must have dozed off. Well, quite a bargain, I think. As I say, you can buy that from Tandy or direct from me. Cash would be useful. You can have that one, Sue, as a present.
Oh, no, I've got one.
Oh, really?
Yes, they were giving them away free at Tandy.
What?
Yes, they were in a bucket at the door with a sign saying free comedy tape.
Yeah. They would be. This is a clever sales ploy, that. It's very clever. It's good. Pleased to hear it.
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue.
And now our phone-in, which today is, surprise, surprise, about stress.
Now, we've all heard of road rage, but what about other sorts of rage?
Yes, Radio 4 rage, for example, which is brought on by not knowing what time any of the programmes are on anymore. Or rage, when people become mildly irritated with people who completely lose their temper.
And phone rage is a newly recognised phenomenon that is affecting callers who have been put on hold and then just abandoned.
Now, have you had a bad experience of phone rage? Give us a call here on Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue.
And we have our first caller, Mrs. E. Clark. Hello, Mrs. Clark.
Hello.
Hello, where are you calling from?
Greater Harbrook in Oxfordshire.
Oh, God. I know it well. Spent many years living there.
What's your experience of phone rage, then, Mrs. Clark?
Yes. I rang up the Inland Revenue 2 weeks ago to complain to a Mr. Blakely about a ludicrous letter he'd sent, and they put me on hold.
Just hold it there, Mrs. Clark. Hold your horses. We're running a tad behind schedule, it seems. So what we're going to do is to leave this item and come back to you later for the rest of your story, if you don't mind waiting.
The terrible phenomenon of just being left on hold.
Yes. Now, sometimes stress may be caused if talented people aren't given the break they deserve.
Or maybe they're just not as good as they think they are, Mike.
Oh, no. They're very good. But their idea to present a program in which they take an Aston Martin around the vineyards of France called Let's Drink and Drive doesn't fit in with the new regime of boys in Hugo Boss suits, does it?
Who are you talking about, Mike?
Just talking generally. Here's an example of a maitre d' whose skill and talent has not been rewarded at the level he deserves.
A very fine choice, if I may say so, sir. Can I get you a drink at exactly the same time, sir? Coke, eh oui? Dépêchez-vous, garçon! Vite, vite! I see madame was able to bag thee a table near the window. I hope it is to your liking. Merci, garçon. Et voilà, monsieur, two Big Mac meals with large cokes. Bon appétit.
Now, what can sport offer? Golf is ideal for stress.
Yes, no other sport creates stress like the pointless game golf.
Unless you've smashed up your putter in childish frustration by the 16th, you've not really been trying.
Surely it's time that TV realised that golf is not about taking part. It's about getting furious with yourself and taking it out on your opponent, who must have been cheating anyway.
Here's Doogie Donnelly.
Well, here we are now at the Royal Lytham St. Anne's car park, and here comes a player out of the clubhouse in an absolute rage. Look at this. Oh, my goodness me. He's holding a club. Looks like a 2-iron from here. And he moves nicely now towards his opponent's BMW. Here he comes. Come on now. Is he going to... Yes! Good swing there. Good contact. And he smashed the rear window entirely. Well, super stuff there. Now, that puts him one up on his opponent, of course. And here comes his opponent now, red-faced and sweating, holding a fairly well-lofted club by the looks of it there. Perhaps a 5 or a 6 iron, I would say. And yes, he slotted it. Well done. Driver's window is gone on his opponent's car there. Now, what's he going to do? Well, this is interesting. He takes the handbrake off now, and there goes the Range Rover, trickling off away down the hill there, gathering speed and... Well, dearie me. Well, I hope you'll join us later when we watch Mark O'Meara and Tiger Woods slogging it out in the wonderful setting of Tesco's car park.
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue.
Now, we were going to have a word with Julie, one of our PAs here, about the stress of working behind the scenes, but I can't find her.
Sue, sometimes it happens that the people who work for us, although we love them dearly, get so stressed, we have to sack them. Sometimes they rant and rave like you wouldn't believe, and we have to get them some distance away from all of us. And that happened to Julie. But I said, well, in 9 months' time, who knows, she could perhaps come back again.
9 months?
Yes, we may feel we've lost a close friend, but in life, Sue, it's important not to dwell on sadness, but to go forwards. And already I can feel I can treat her replacement, Giselle, like a member of my own family.
And which member of the family would that be? A little sister? An aunt? Or a wife, perhaps?
Well, I suppose a sort of sisterly sort of mother who... Well, that's not right. I don't know, Sue. It's just a figure of speech. Now it's time for our big debate in front of our invited audience.
Yes, today we're going to discuss an issue that's bound to touch a few nerves and raise a few hackles amongst our invited audience. But already we're running out of time.
Yes, we're running out of time before we've even started. But today we're asking the question, should it be stopped? Someone over here.
Could I say something, please? I am a community leader.
OK, we're running out of time, but what community do you lead?
Homosexual community.
Just a minute. You were here last week speaking up for the Bengali community.
Yes, and I'm freelance, you know. Next week I'm going to be leading the community of Jewish footballers against circumcision, if that's all right with you.
Well, can I say something here? I've listened to the debate so far, and what about a bit of common sense and reasoned argument?
Excuse me. Oh! You won't be troubling us again. And Elaine Fitzgerald, you write for The Guardian.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. And now, Superintendent Harsh, what does the bobby on the street think?
Well, obviously, you know, we approach the situation as sensitively as possible. We are very sensitive. Minorities, sensitive. Minorities, sensitive. Very sensitive, gentle, caring, soft mother care. Awkwardly and warm next to your skin. Little children playing, being wrapped in a warm towel. The smell of baby powder and your mother's milk. Bedtime stories, cuddles in bed, police brutality.
Yes, right, now we turn to our expert, Regius Professor of this and that. Stopped or not stopped, in your view?
If it was stopped, our projection shows that a lot of things would increase.
How many things?
Well, according to the latest computer projection, quite a lot.
The computer figure was quite a lot.
Yes, and it said some things would decrease by a smidgen. So you have to balance a lot of things increasing, quite a lot, with some things decreasing by a smidgen. But, of course, that is an optimistic estimate.
Now, you said it was a computer projection. Mm. How can it be optimistic?
Computers have their up days.
In next week's big debate, we ask... Are drugs...
Excuse me.
Oh, you again.
I just wanted to say, instead of all this fighting and passing the blame, why don't we get round the negotiating table and all try to find a constructive solution?
Oh! That should do it. Now, time for our phone-in.
Yes, our phone-in today about phone rage, the stress caused by being abandoned on hold.
And hopefully on the line is Mrs. Clark from Greater Harbrook. You know, I used to live in the old mill there, Mrs. Clark.
Oh, dear.
Great memories of the place.
Oh, yes, well, the old mill. You're going to be terribly sorry to hear about that, because it burnt down one night.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear. Yeah, how sad. Anyway.
And people, would you believe people say the man who owned it burnt it down for the insurance money? Terrible. How many years ago were you there?
What's the story about being left on hold, Mrs.?
And people had actually said that the guy involved used to work in TV or something, but they'd never heard of him. What did he do again? Actually, it wasn't TV. No, I think it was radio.
Right. Just hold it there, Mrs. Clark. The producer's telling me to crack on, so we'll get your story a little later.
The terrible phenomenon of just being left on hold. Now on with our second topic, honesty. Now, I understand you have a strong opinion on this, Mike.
No, you see, Sue, I am a firm believer in honesty. For me, honesty is the best policy.
Really, Mike?
Oh, yeah. When I was just a lad, I took an exam. When I got the results back, I found I'd failed it. So I went back again the next year, and I took that exam all over again. And, you know, I failed it again. So I went back the next year, and I took it again, and I failed it again. And then I paid a lot of money to a man I know, and that did the trick straight away. You see what I'm saying, Sue?
No, Mike, not really.
I was honest with myself. I wasn't ever going to pass that exam, you see? No, I faced the fact. Now, that was honesty. That took courage on my part. Yes, honesty is the best policy, without a doubt.
Yes, honesty. And nowhere is honesty more important than in marriage. Couples more and more are writing their own vows in the name of being more honest.
Please, repeat after me. I, bloke who got you pregnant.
I, bloke who got you pregnant.
Take you, bird I met in a nightclub.
Take you, bird I met in a nightclub.
To shag and to shag.
To shag and to shag.
Until I get bored and run off with the woman at work.
Until I get bored and run off with the woman at work.
Well done, well done. Right. Now the bride. I, bird in a nightclub.
I, bird in a nightclub.
Do take you, bloke who got me pregnant.
Do take you, bloke who got me pregnant.
Until you start shouting that I trapped you.
Until you start shouting that I trapped you.
And I run off in tears to stay at my mother's.
And I run off in tears to stay at my mother's.
And then keep going back to you despite all my girlfriends telling me not to.
And then keep going
back to you.
Back to you despite all my girlfriends and telling me not to.
Well, okay. Will the congregation please rise and say with me the words on the sheet?
All of us know full well it will never last. What on earth are we all doing in a church
of all places?
I hope the food at the reception is good
and not like at the last wedding
where we just had ham sandwiches.
Amen.
Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we all occasionally make... what's this say? Fox pas?
Faux pas, Mike. It's pronounced faux pas. It's French.
Really? Oh, yes, French. Hoi ho. Yes, faux pas. It didn't copy very well in my script. No, actually, I'm a bit of a faux pas expert, Sue.
Yes, Mike, I rather think you are. Well, businesses, it would seem, are trying to avoid making faux pas, and to this end, some of them are becoming more open and honest.
Yes, indeed. Train companies, for one, are falling over themselves in the name of honesty to tell you the exact reason your train is late.
This is Gavin, your senior conductor speaking. Welcome to the 1305 Intercity service to Liverpool Street. Due to a staff shortage on this service today, Colin from the catering car is driving the train. We will be stopping at Ipswich. Perhaps. See how it goes. Thank you.
Well, now back to our phone-in. Today on the subject of phone rage. The stress caused by being abandoned on hold. Hello, Mrs. Clark. Now, what's your story of phone rage?
Ah, hello, Mike. Now, you know you said you lived in our village. Well, do you remember Mrs. Morgan in the post
office? Look, I think we've talked enough about me living in your village,
because
Mrs. Clark.
She says that your voice reminds her very much of a man who was always after her 16-year-old daughter. Isn't that a coincidence?
Oh, dear, look, we haven't got time for your story after all, Mrs. Clark. Goodbye! The stress of being abandoned on hold.
Yes, indeed. And now we move on to honesty and relationships. Some men think the only way to chat up a woman is to agree with everything she says.
Absolutely. I agree. Not that I'm trying to chat you up, Sue. You're obviously far too old.
What?
I just love Marvin Gaye.
Yeah?
Well, that's extraordinary, you know, because I love Marvin Gaye too. Yeah,
really? I've got this dream of dancing to Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing, you know, at midnight on a beach in Goa or
no,
somewhere.
No, that is extraordinary, right? Because yeah. I've had the same dream exactly, right? Last yeah. summer I danced to Shawaddy Waddy on a beach in Yarmouth, you know, so I feel I'm getting there slowly. Hey, do you want a drink?
Yeah, that's real kind. I'll have a Bloody Mary, thank you.
That is extraordinary. That is my favourite drink as well. God, we've got so much in common, you know.
God, I'm getting terrible stomach cramps.
Yeah?
I think my period's coming on.
That is amazing, because I think that it is my, you know, it really is my, it's my job to get those drinks. Here's your drink, well, there you go.
You know that my father is a Central American dictator. I mean, I just like to tell people, you know, so it doesn't seem like I'm hiding it. Get it out of the way.
Well, you know, that really is extraordinary, because my father's a dictator in Central America as well.
I was joking.
That's amazing, because I was joking too.
Look, why are you pretending to have things in common with me?
And that is amazing, because I was thinking the same thing. Why am I pretending to have things in common with you? It's crazy, isn't it, you know? Hey, do you want another drink?
No way. Listen, I think you're an idiot.
I think I'm an idiot too. I do. We've got so much in common though, haven't we? Hey, will you sleep with me?
And now it's time for our book of the week, which this week is a cookery book.
Yes, this new book out on cookery is as honest as the day is long. There's a lasagna recipe in it called, This Is Not Quite What I Expected.
Yes, and a stir-fry recipe called The Fat's Too Hot and the Smoke Alarm's Gone Off. And a cake at the end called Oh Well, It'll Make a Good Frisbee.
Yeah. Where is the book? Ah, Giselle, thanks. Very competent.
You're very welcome, Michael.
And if you're wondering at home, that voice was Giselle.
Julie's replacement.
Yes, now,
Sometimes things look so nice on the outside, boys just want to have them.
Absolutely, Sue.
Now, honesty and people. If we're honest, do looks matter when hiring staff?
Well, clearly looks should have nothing to do with hiring staff. For example, they certainly didn't when I hired Giselle. It was so dark in that nightclub, I could hardly see your face.
Nightclub?
People should never, never, never hire a person on the hope of a sordid relationship in the Whitemore Hotel just off the North Circular. Good car parking there, though. Always plenty of spaces.
What? You hired her in a nightclub?
Just being honest, Sue, which is our subject. Now, if you're walking past a lorry which is going backwards, you might well hear something like this.
Warning. Vehicle reversing.
When perhaps it should be saying...
Warning. Driver thinks he's Michael Schumacher.
And if you're in a post office waiting in the queue, you may hear a similar voice saying...
Cashier number 4.
But a trip to the post office should, if we're honest, be more like this.
Come on, come on, Anne. You want a stamp?
Cashier number 4.
Oh, at last.
Is chatting to cashier number 3 about holidays.
Come on.
Cashier number 1.
Ah, here we go.
Is going to lunch. Cashier number 5.
Ah.
Is here on a government training scheme. Bad luck.
First class stamp, please.
A stamp? Yeah. What's that, then?
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue.
Right, now, to end the show, as our subject is honesty, when we were talking over ideas at the wine bar for the programme a couple of days ago, both Mike and I thought it would be fun to reveal one secret live on air.
Yes, that's right, we did. I'd forgotten.
So there and then, we both wrote down a secret and sealed it in an envelope, and I've got the two envelopes right here.
We had a few Chiantis that night, and this is rather exciting for me as well, because I've completely forgotten what I wrote in mine.
Okay, Mike, come on, you open mine first.
Right, okay, Sue has written when I was a teenager. What, a couple of years ago, Sue?
Oh, Mike, don't be silly. Yeah.
All right, I'm just joking. Now, when I was a teenager, 18 years, 7 months ago, by my calculation, Sue, when I was a teenager, I was so in need of money, I agreed to appear in a soft porn film called Bouncy, Bouncy, Yum, Yum.
Yes, I did, and I don't actually remember writing the title. How funny.
Well, I have another secret, Sue. You didn't. I'm a great fan of that piece of work. In fact, between a group of us working here, we've worn that tape thin, and it would be lost forever if someone hadn't the foresight to put clips of it on the internet.
Right! Right, so let's see. What's your secret, Mike?
Well, that Chianti was so good, all I can remember thinking that it was a terrific piece of honesty.
Oh, well, let's see.
What is it? Not about me buying 50 copies of the big issue from one salesman, is it? I meant to keep that generous act a secret. Huh? Yeah, well, come on, what is it, Sue? Well, you can tell the world.
Can I?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, Mike's secret is I made Julie pregnant and I'm really, really sorry. I should have been a gentleman and offered to give her the 150 quid for an abortion.
Ah.
So, that seems to wrap it up nicely for this week.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue was written by Tim DeYoung from a format by Bill Dare. It starred Robert Duncan and Jan Ravens with Roger Blake, Alistair McGowan, Ronnie Ancona and Tim DeYoung. Music was by Mark Burton and the producer was Alan Evans.